After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honour and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that lives for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Round the throne, 24 seats. Upon 24 seats sat 24 elders clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. One verse from Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Writing to the church at Philadelphia, Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man takes your crown. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have. Jesus talking to the churches. Now, why would Jesus say that? Hold fast. Hold on to it. Hold on to what? Well, it's that which you will have. What is it that I'll have? It's my crown. It's your crown. And there are some things we need to understand. One thing in particular, as we reach the end of time. At the end, there'll be a time of reward. And unfortunately for some churches who don't preach it anymore, there'll be a time of punishment. It's coming. You will either be rewarded or punished. For some, it will be a time of crowning, a coronation time. And we go on holiday together as a family, and we like to eat out a little bit, and sometimes it gets to that, I'd like a burger. And we end up searching out the burgers. And you could go to one sort of burger, Burger King. And when you go to Burger King, wow, you eat your burger. Well, you don't even have to eat your burger. You just go in that place and they will give you a crown. There you are. A real live crown. It even fits. In fact, you can go and get an even bigger crown from English Heritage. There you are. You see, they give you, when we visit, you can get another crown for the children, anyway. A crown, an English Heritage crown. Crowns are being handed out all over. Why do they give you a paper crown? I'll tell you why. Because it's worthless. It's not worth anything. It isn't expensive. It's of no value whatsoever. And for everything that is real, there is the false, the counterfeit. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no one takes your crown. Wow. We should remember. We must remember that as he died, Jesus wore a crown. Not a posh crown, but it was an expensive crown. It was a crown of thorns. A crown of thorns. It was from his own creation. Not just a crown, but the very thorns had been created by the words of his mouth. He wore it for me, and he wore it for you, that crown. King of kings, Lord of lords. But for me and my salvation, he humbled himself to the cross and to a crown of thorns. And my message this evening, if you wanted a title, is you can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have my crown. And to be clear, and I usually am, as far as the word goes, the truth is, I'm working for something. And it's not implanted in my mind as the main reason I'm here tonight, far from it. But still, I'm working for something. Today, here, I'm working for something. Because Paul said, the Bible says, there is laid up for me a crown. For you, there is laid up for you a crown. And it represents a trophy. A trophy. It's a trophy of grace. Not your grace. God's grace. God's good grace. Now if you ran a race in the time of Jesus, and the Olympic Games were taking place then, as there were, the Greek Games. If you go to Olympias and Olympia, where we visited to see the original running tracks and all that, Paul quotes many times, run the race. There's witnesses watching you run your race. If you went there in the time of Paul, a great celebration, crowds of thousands, then they'd run in a stadium. And Paul uses the analogy very often. But the winner would have a wreath on their head, a garland, a crown. And the crowds would cheer as they won the race. The crowds would cheer as that garland was placed upon their heads. It's all happening again as athletics and sports take a foothold in modern life. But just one problem. Paul, who wrote about these things, died. Peter died, Simon Peter. Stephen died, we read about it. John Wimber died. Keith Green, the evangelist singer, died. And John Bryce will die. Every one of us sat here. We all will die unless we meet Christ in the air before that. But when we die, what's going to happen then? What's going to happen? I'm talking of a crown or crowns. But do you know what your crown represents? Your crown represents what you do, what you did, what you did. It's what you earned down here. God is going to reward every man according as his work has been. To be correct, he's going to repay every woman according to what her work has been, all of us. You get a paper crown from Burger King. But I want you to imagine that you've died and you stand before the throne of God, and all that's worth waiting for you is a worthless paper crown. A worthless paper crown. Why? Because you did nothing for God. Because you did nothing for God. Those churches and those attenders who pack up before they ought to. Mostly when great revival isn't coming. And I thank God you're here tonight. Gareth said it's good to see the seats full. I thank God that you're here tonight in this house. But the people who get tired. Well, who isn't tired? You know? Who isn't tired? There are thousands of people near here, near this church, who are going to hell. They're going to a lost eternity while we go to cafes and restaurants and we even get our paper crowns. You know, I don't want to receive a paper crown. I don't want something that's bogus, that's trash, that's counterfeit. I don't want that. I don't want that. And I keep saying this, but this is a message you shouldn't forget. Don't forget this message. That's why I bought these crowns. You'll remember the crowns. It's very important. What you do for Jesus. Very important. What you do for him. When you die, there's reward or punishment. You will be judged. He's going to pay everybody according as their work has been. And throughout the world, there are those people, athletes, training to run in the games. All around us, divers, swimmers, athletes, runners, footballers. They have to go running and training and eating properly. Day and night, day and night, day after day after day. They're eating and sleeping and living for their sport. Why? Because they're dreaming of having that gold medal put round their necks. They're dreaming of receiving the accolade of that cup, that gold. They're dreaming of standing on top of that podium. They're dreaming of the music being played just for them. In my reading, there's 24 elders sat there. But as soon as the praises start, they have to get up and they have to bow and they have to throw the crowns down before the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But there'll be those divers who stand on that top board, and that dive, well, it's all that's between them and the gold medal. They'll be judged how they take off. They'll be judged how they manoeuvre and do all their sequences, and they'll be judged how they hit the water. As Christians, and this is the Bible that tells us this, Jesus will ask, what did you do when you were alive? What did you do with your life? It's there. There where we'll be judged. We'll be judged. You will be judged. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Every idle word? That's what Scripture says. That's how closely our lives will be scrutinized. Does that cause you to think? It does me every time I read this scripture. We'll be judged for our words. Good words, bad words. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We're going to be paid because our thoughts are going to be tested. Our hearts are going to be tested. We're going to be judged for our work. We're going to be judged for where we went. We'll be judged for how we lived our life. John Bryce will be judged. I'll be judged for my work, and it will all be revealed by fire, as some rubbish is going to burn, I'll tell you. All the junk's going to burn. When I die, I hope I'm not knee-deep in ashes. Lord willing. When you die, I hope, I pray that you're not standing knee-deep in ashes. How many want to be rewarded? You should all be wanting to be rewarded, because God says you're going to be rewarded. You're going to be rewarded. You're going to get a crown. You see, you get it up there if you wear it down here. That's the secret. You get it up there if you wear it down here, and it's not made of cardboard. It's not a cheap, nasty thing. It's priceless for the kingdom. And for someone to be able to take it, for someone to be able to steal it, you have to have won it first. You've got to have worn it first. For someone to steal it, you've got to have worn it. And I ask you again, how many want to get a crown? I do. I pray that you do. When you come around the Lord's table, we all examine ourselves. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me. Make me brand new. Be my Lord and Saviour. Be my very best friend. Do the work in my life. Do it now, Lord. Refine as fire. My heart's desire is to be holy. I want to be holy, Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Three times holy. For someone to take your crown, you've got to have one. And Jesus shed his blood. He shed his blood for you. And there's only one way into heaven. There's only one way into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He's the one who shed his blood. Not the pastor, not the Pope, not Mohammed, not Buddha, not some mystic somewhere. His name is throughout the pages of the Word. His name is Jesus. Jesus, the Word, who became flesh. He is the stumbling block for one world religion. Jesus. He is the only way to heaven. Jesus. So now, who do you think could possibly steal your crown? Your crown, who can steal it? The devil can come with that right. You know, the devil can steal your crown. John chapter 10, verses 10. The thief, that's the devil Jesus is talking about there, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, to take your crown, to take your joy. He comes to kill, he comes to destroy, and Jesus comes to give you life, hallelujah, in all its fullness. And Peter was confronted by Jesus. Satan has desired to have you, Peter. Satan has desired to have you so that he can sift you as wheat. And Jesus was tempted. 40 days and 40 nights. The devil took him onto the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you worship me, I'll give you all of this. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. He was after his crown. He went after Peter's crown. He went after Jesus' crown. And I'll tell you, from this morning's message, he went after Judas' crown. And he got it. He got it. For Jesus. And he stole his crown. And Judas was there with Jesus. Judas was there. He worked the miracles. Judas was there. And others will steal your crown. They'll attempt to snatch it away. You get saved, and the first people try to talk you out of it are your friends, your best friends. What, this Jesus stuff? It happens all the time. Your family and friends, those who no longer can be comfortable in the house because they go to church and they've got morals and they've got ethics according to the Bible, and the family can't understand it and they don't want it. But Jesus is precious. He's precious. He's so precious. And I want you to be serious today and remember my words as something bought you sort of off out of your salvation. The joy that you had. As someone told you that you should be tired by now. You're doing too much at that church too often. As somebody told you that they're on a rough road. Is it all going to be worth it? Doubtless. And I know that the devil comes. And others come. And others, some, give it up so quickly. So freely. So easily. They lose their crown. There's a name in the Bible. In the New Testament, there's a name. A chap called Demas. You can read about him. At one time was Paul's right-hand man, Demas. Demas. And Paul, a very, very sad statement. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, it's as though the train pulled into that station at Thessalonica and Demas got off. And somehow he looked round and he saw houses and businesses and thought, I could make a good living here. I like the look of this place. And he never got back on, as far as we know. Paul was left without him at Thessalonica. And how many of you would be shocked if you heard that the next time I was due to preach here, I wasn't coming. Because I got a new job as a car salesman. And on that Sunday morning and Sunday evening, I'd be selling cars, you know, for Ann Clark or somewhere down the road. But that's what the Bible said about Demas. Demas went to Thessalonica. He saw something there, some potential, the finances, something like that. But he went off selling camels or something. But it was serious. Demas has forsaken me. By inference, he'd forsaken the Lord. Something, someone had taken his crown. They can steal your crown. You can lose your crown. And we may not be in a society that generally doesn't attend church anymore. But a recent survey in America showed that 80% of adults believe they will stand before God on Judgment Day. But most of them don't believe in hell anymore. So they'll stand before God, but he's going to say, well, you're okay, you're a good person. Welcome. You're in. They all believe they're going to go to heaven, 80% of them. Because God is good and God is love. And yes, he is. Yes, he is. It's an attribute of God that God is love. But tonight, are you on fire for Jesus? Are you on fire for him? Do you believe it can be taken away, your crown? You see, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only life. Scripture says, hold that crown. Hold that crown. You see, it's no paper crown. It's a glorious crown. A glorious crown. It's in the hands of angels. Your crown, it's precious. It's silver and gold. It has diamonds and emeralds. And they shall be mine, the scripture in Malachi chapter 3. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Used to sing when I was young. I remember it all these years. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, we shall stand in his beauty, bright crowns for his own. Do you know that one, Gareth? You remember that? We're jewels. We're making up his crown. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He looks upon us as precious. So precious that he left heaven's glory to die for us. It's wonderful. It's unbelievable. And he says, I've got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you another comforter who'll be with you and he'll be in you, the Holy Spirit. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. What's the value on your head? You know, the old Wild West, they had wanted posters, didn't they? There was a price on their head, $20,000, dead or alive. A value. What's the value on your head? If there is a value, why such a value? I'll tell you. Because on that day, when Jesus places that crown on my head, I'm going to have to take it off. And he'll put it back on. And I'm going to have to take it off again. Why? Because I want something valuable. Something that's worth something to give him. And I stand here tonight and I think, what can I give him? He'll give me a crown? Do I deserve a crown? Scripture says, yes. I don't know how I'll respond to that. Hallelujah. It's the only thing that I'll have in my hands that's worth anything to give to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. It's his crown, for he is worthy. And I pray that you'll join me in a prayer. Those who know me know that this isn't something I normally, if ever, do. But friends, the hour is late. So very, very late, and Jesus is coming again for his church, the rapture of the church, the believers. Do you know the church is not mentioned after Revelation 3 and 4 in Scripture? The church has gone. Suddenly it becomes saints. They refer to saints because that day is coming when the church, as we know it, will be taken. All believers will be taken from this earth. And that will preempt some very, very nasty days on this planet. Are you ready? Are you ready? Pray with me now if you want Jesus to fill your life. I just want us all to bow. And I just want to pray for you. And I pray these words for myself, because I just pray for a fresh infilling every day to see me through a day, to take me into a new day, new experiences of Jesus, new experiences of his love for me. And Jesus, wash me. Jesus, cleanse me. Jesus, take my sin away. Jesus, be my Saviour. Be my Lord. Be my very best friend. Jesus, come. Come and live your life in me. Amen. That's sufficient. You can't say any more than that. But now it's living the life. Now it's walking the walk. Now it's running the race with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe that on that day you'll want to lay something at Jesus' feet, something precious, something beautiful, something that's worth fighting for. But for now, Scripture says, put on your armour, because you're in a battle. There's principalities and powers, and they're after your crown. Put on the whole armour. Fight the good fight. And when you've done everything, when you don't think you can do any more, well, stand. 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 Run the good race, right through to the winning tape. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus right now. Tonight, tomorrow. Live for Jesus. Beware that no one takes your crown. And we're going to sing in conclusion, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And the last verse has that remarkable line, Casting your crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise.